I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Tattoos and touchdowns. They love the game.
I'm perturbed.
Lyle Alzado, Matusak, and Hammond, Lambert.
Minister of Defense, Peyton Manning, Dan Marino, John Elway, You know, Jim Kelly.
It's football. Just give me my chance to, like, put a big leather helmet on like Al Bundy.
You are listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on warlikeradio.com.
Good morning.
Back to you in the form of credit card. They charge you 18% to 21%. It's your money. You put it there in the first place.
Good morning. You're listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on MoreLikeRadio.com. Happy holidays, everybody. It's official with the holiday season. You hear a little conversation here in the background. Joe and I complaining about adult problems.
I had no idea it was 10 o'clock. Sorry.
It's all right. Joe and I complaining about adult problems. It is what it is.
So we all have them, huh?
Yeah, at the very least.
Yeah.
We're running. Chris is running a little late. He got stuck on a little bit of traffic on the way in today, so I'm going to be running the show for a little bit. So we're going to start off. Interesting week last week. One of the things that neither Chris nor I can actually tolerate is a game that ends in a tie. It annoys us. There shouldn't be ties in the NFL in the regular season. The NHL did something to actually prevent this, where they play one overtime period. If there's no clear-cut winner at the end of the overtime period, they go into a shootout. You can do the same thing in the NFL, okay? You can do something similar. As for exactly what, that remains to be seen. I've got my ideas. We'll talk about it a little bit later on. But to kick things off, Minnesota Vikings visited the Green Bay Packers. This is the game that ends in a tie, 26-26. Christian Ponder, 21 of 30 for 233 yards and a touchdown. For the Green Bay Packers, Scott Tolzien, 7 of 17 for 98 yards, no touchdowns. Matt Flynn came in. He went 21 for 36 for 218 yards and a touchdown. Really not a bad day. Going into the rushing stats, Adrian Peterson, 32 rushes, 146 yards, and a touchdown. Toby Gerhardt, 8 of 91, no touchdowns. For the Packers, Eddie Lacy, 25 rushes, 110 yards, and a touchdown. Scott Tolzien also ran for a touchdown. He had 2 rushes for 25 yards on top of that. James Starks was 3 rushes, 37 yards. Heading on over to the receiving stats, nobody really stood out in this game at all. You had Cordell Patterson. He was 8 grabs, 54 yards, no touchdowns. John Carlson, 3 grabs for 36 yards. Jerome Simpson, 2 for 54. Going down to the lone passing touchdown, that went to Rhett Ellison. Who? Rhett Ellison.
Like a cowboy movie.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Either that or something that would have, why can't I think of his name? Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
Oh, yeah, sure. Gone with the Wind.
He's Gone with the Wind, thank
Rhett
you.
Butler.
Rhett Butler, that's exactly who I was thinking about. That's why we keep Joe around. When I want to make an old reference and I screw it up, Joe bails me out.
Absolutely, because I'm an old guy. Well, the truth is, today, if they made that movie, you'd say, go fuck yourself, Charlotte.
Pretty much. Pretty much. For the Green Bay Packers, James Jones, 7 grabs, 80 yards. Eddie Lacy also had 6 grabs for 48 yards. Jarrett Boykin, 5 grabs for 60 yards and a touchdown. Jordy Nelson, 4 grabs for 58 yards. Everybody else was under 30. Heading on over to Detroit, where Detroit played host to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, dropping this game to the Bucs 24-21. That's a big shock right there, actually. Mike Glennon was 14 of 21 for 247 yards and 2 touchdowns. Matthew Stafford for the Lions, 26 of 46, 297 yards, 3 touchdowns, and here is the difference maker, folks, 4 interceptions. You're never going to do well when you start turning the ball over like that. 4 interceptions is an absolutely horrific day. Rushing stats for the Buccaneers, Bobby Rainey, 18 rushes, 35 yards. Not a single rushing touchdown in this game. For the Lions, Reggie Bush, 15 rushes for 83 yards. He's been pretty consistent all year. Reggie Bush kind of making a resurgence. Welcome back to the NFL. Joique Bell, 6 rushes for 15 yards. Nobody else worth mentioning. Going on over to the receiving stats, Tim Wright for the Bucs, 8 grabs, 75 yards, no touchdowns. Tyquan Underwood, 3 grabs, 108 yards, 2 touchdowns. I'd say that's a pretty good day. For the Lions, Calvin Johnson, you can't mess with Megatron. 7 grabs, 115 yards, did not find the end zone. Nate Burleson, 7 grabs for 77 yards and a touchdown. Brandon Pettigrew, 3 grabs for 32 yards and a touchdown. Joseph Fourier, 1 grab, 10 yards, 1 touchdown. And, as usual, a fairly awful touchdown dance.
I saw that.
Yeah, he's...
didn't they outlaw that at one time, all this end zone
theatrics? No, they didn't outlaw the end zone dance. You could celebrate as long as you're celebrating as an individual.
Okay.
You can't do a group celebration. It can't look choreographed.
No more choreography, huh?
No.
Oh, I guess
no.
Paul Abdul is out of a job now.
Well, guys like Terrell Owens really kind of screwed it up when he was hiding markers underneath the goalpost and scoring the touchdown, autographing the ball and throwing it out.
Fans love that, though.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, yeah. You know, the NFL is like, all right, stop hot-dogging. And...
yeah, but, you know, all right. I understand the NFL's point, but the game is for the fans. All sports are for fans.
Absolutely.
You know, and if it's something that the fans like, within reason, of course. Like, I'm against hockey fighting, and the fans love it. But, you know, it's part of the game. But if it's something that the fans like, let them do it, man.
Yeah, you know, yes and no. I mean, the problem was it was becoming a bit excessive.
Delay of game and all that?
Yeah, it was really slowing the things down a little bit.
Yeah.
And... you know, the NFL doesn't want to do that. They want to keep it exciting. They want to keep everybody kind of moving along and keep the action going.
I understand. They take it a little more seriously. I'm in for the fun of the game, though. That's a fun thing. You know?
Yeah, no, I like I said, I do agree with you. But most fans really want to see the big hits, the action, the
sure.
big plays.
Absolutely.
Most fans really don't care about watching a guy act like a fool in the end zone.
Well, it's the science of the game.
Right.
Yeah, it's true.
And then you have some idiots who sit there and do something. Such an excessive celebration that they wound up injuring themselves.
I know. There was a thing a few years ago in Iraq, like some of the great generals in Iraq study football because of the strategies involved the positioning of the team. They do it on a larger scale with armies, but basically it's war.
Yeah, no, it really is. Yeah. It's definitely a much more controlled war than actual war.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Thank God for that.
A small battlefield.
Small battlefield of 120 yards.
Yes, sir.
Heading on over to Miami. Miami Dolphins played host to the Carolina Panthers. This one was actually a lot closer than I thought it was going to be. Carolina wins this one 20-16. Cam Newton, 19 of 38, 174 yards, 1 touchdown and a pick. Ryan Tannehill, 28 of 42, 310 yards, 1 touchdown and a pick. Looking at the rushing stats, Cam Newton, leading rusher, 7 rushes, 51 yards and a touchdown. Jonathan Stewart, 7 rushes for 31 yards. D'Angelo Williams, 10 rushes for 31 yards. Again, I have issues when your leading rusher is your quarterback. Which happened for both teams in this game, because Ryan Tannehill rushed four times for 36 yards, and Lamar Miller... the alleged stud running back for Miami, 10 rushes, 8 yards. Yeah.
Not a good day.
No, not at all. Heading on over to the receiving stats, the Carolina Panthers, Steven Smith was 5 grabs for 69 yards. Greg Olsen, 5 grabs, 34 yards, and a touchdown. Brandon LaFell, 2 grabs for 36 yards. Nobody else was above 20. Going on over to the Dolphins, part of the reason the Dolphins were successful was because of Mike Wallace. 5 grabs, 127 yards and a touchdown. Brian Hartline, 5 grabs, 78 yards. Lamar Miller, 4 grabs for 39 yards. And Charles Clay, 4 for 27. Everybody else was below 20. Let's take it on over to Cleveland. Cleveland played host to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Pittsburgh wins this one 27-11. Wow. Ben Roethlisberger, 22 of 34, 217 yards and two touchdowns. Jason Campbell, 14 of 22, 124 yards, no touchdowns. He was relieved by Brandon Whedon, who went 13 of 30 for 209 yards, a touchdown, and an interception. I don't know really what's going on with Cleveland. They can't seem to get their act straight, and it's definitely a quarterback issue. Brandon Whedon just, I thought he was going to actually be quite successful with this new offense. New offensive coordinator, he got a lot of weapons. It was an offense that was really geared towards him, and it's just not working out for him. Jason Campbell finally coming crashing back down to earth with his stats. He's been on a hot streak the last month, really. But going on to the rushing stats, Le'Veon Bell, 23 rushes, 80 yards, no touchdowns. Everybody else was below 10. Cleveland Browns, Chris Ogbonna, four rushes for 26 yards. Fozzie Whitaker rushed the ball six times for 16 yards. Going on over to the receiving stats for the Steelers, Antonio Brown, six grabs, 92 yards and a touchdown. Emmanuel Sanders, six grabs for 52 yards and a touchdown. Heath Miller had five receptions for 41. Going on over to the Cleveland Browns stats. Now, I don't understand this exactly. Josh Gordon, 14 grabs, 237 yards, and a touchdown. And yet Cleveland still loses this game. Makes absolutely zero sense to me. Everybody else was below 30 yards in this game.
Can you imagine how depressed he is? All that work and you lost the game besides.
Yeah, I wouldn't. You know what? If I was in that locker room, I might be walking by people just smacking them upside the head. Like, really, what's wrong with you?
Yeah, the defense anyway.
Oh, man. I mean, you lose the game by 16 points, and you have a performance like that, it's basically wasted.
Sure.
Sitting down right now, Chris Esposito is back with us. Chris, welcome.
Hello.
You all right?
Yeah.
Hit a little traffic on the way in?
Oh, my God, dude. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. You know what it is? Because it's still the residual of Black Friday.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, for those of you who live in New York, you know all about the Belt Parkway.
Josh Gordon actually, in that game, broke the record for Cleveland Browns receiving in a single game.
That doesn't surprise me. That doesn't surprise me. But
they've had a lot of really good guys on that team. I mean, you had the Ozzie Newsoms of the world.
Right.
You had the Eric Retz. You had... why is his name escaping me now?
I don't know.
Fullback, number 34. You had Brian Sipe. You had Bernie Kosar was throwing at him. You had times when in the Retigliano years, they had some really good wide receivers.
They absolutely did. Just none of them were able to. It just seems like, again, the Cleveland Browns are the lovable losers of the NFL.
Hey, week six, they were in first place.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they came crashing back down, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's not going to last. They don't have enough pieces. I think it even surprised the Cleveland Brown front office after they made the deal trading away Trent Richardson. They kind of turned around and said, all right, we're going to give up this year. We want to build the team around a quarterback, probably going to be Teddy Bridgewater.
Right.
And then they go on a run where they beat Minnesota.
I wouldn't even call it a run. I would call it a flat out tear.
Yeah. They won four in a row.
Right.
Hey, great. But you come crashing back down to earth, like you just said.
Yep. Exactly. Heading on over to St. Louis. The St. Louis Rams played host to the Bears. St. Louis wins this one, 42-21. This is like the third game that I'm really considering an upset. The one so far I've considered an upset. I spoke about the tie between Green Bay and Minnesota and how much we despise that.
I was listening to the lovely TuneIn app on the way in.
There you go. Tampa Bay beating Detroit 24-21, I said was an upset. Carolina only beating Miami 20-16 to me was a little bit of an upset.
It's not, and my crystal ball was burning last night. So once we get to this week's games, you'll see why.
Oh my goodness!
I don't like Carolina. They are the biggest smoke and mirror 8-3 I've ever seen.
Absolutely, absolutely. But going on over to the stats for this game, Josh McCown for the Bears, 36 of 47, 352 yards, two touchdowns, and a pick. Kellen Clemens, 10 of 22, for 167 yards and a touchdown. The rushing stats, Matt Forte rushed the ball 16 times for 77 yards. Michael Bush ran the ball 7 times for -5 yards.
And a touchdown.
And a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah.
Unreal. St. Louis Rams, Benny Cunningham, Who's that?
Benny, little Benny, Los Benitos.
Benny Cunningham rushed the ball 13 times for 109 yards and a touchdown. Zach Stacy 12 for 87 and a touchdown. Tavon Austin rushed for one rush, 65 yards and a touchdown. The Chicago Bears defense was obviously very absent.
Chicago Bears defense this entire season has been very absent. Their run defense is horrendous. Now, last year, they led the league in takeaways.
Right.
Last year, they were top 10 in the league in run defense. Just goes to show you that an aging Lance Briggs can't handle what the void Urlacher left.
I was just going to say, is this a void left by Urlacher, or is this the reason?
Without question. Julius Peppers has no help on the front line. Shea McClellan is okay at best. He's not old enough yet. Shea McClellan, if anybody doesn't know, was the one who injured Aaron Rodgers in the game against Green Bay.
Right.
They're not a team that I can look at as a real contender. And they're still in first because that NFC North, or the NARS division, like Chris Berman from ESPN likes to say.
The black and blue division.
The black and blue division likes to, everybody's beating the hell out of each other, with the exception of Minnesota. I mean, Minnesota's the also-ran.
Right.
But that tie actually helps Green Bay in the long run because their percentage points are going to be higher. I mean, once it goes into tiebreak, I mean, if they all broke even, if they all finish 10-6 and they're 9-5 and if they're 9-6-1,
right,
Green Bay wins the division by default because of their tie.
Right,
that's
exactly
another reason why I can't stand the tie.
Yeah, well, I want to try to get into that if we have some time at the end of the show and how we could resolve that issue.
We'll definitely have time.
The receiving stats: Brandon Marshall, 10 grabs, 117 yards, and a touchdown. He has now had over 100 yards receiving 3 out of his last 4 games. So he's kind of coming back into the season. He's been kind of stagnant for most of it. Earl Bennett, 8 grabs, 58 yards. Matt Forte, 7 grabs for 40 yards. Martellus Bennett, 4 grabs, 62 yards, and a touchdown. I miss him on the Giants. Coming on over to the Rams, Jared Cook, 4 receptions, 80 yards, and a touchdown. Tavon Austin, 2 grabs, 39 yards, and no touchdowns. Everybody else, less than 20 yards. We're going to head over now to Kansas City. Kansas City played host to the San Diego Chargers. Kansas City drops this one, 41-38. 2 losses in a row. Chris, you predicted this. You predicted Kansas City was going to drop 2 in a row. Your score, just a bit off.
Yeah, my score was actually off by halfway through the first quarter. However, I did hit the Phillip Rivers 300 yards.
Certainly did. He floated with 400 yards, actually. Phillip Rivers, 27 of 39, 392 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. Alex Smith, 26 of 38, 294 yards, 3 touchdowns and a pick. That might quite possibly be the best game he's had all season, Alex Smith.
Yeah, and he had to be. He had to be. The defense was non-existent. Johnson and Tom Bahali both injured early on in the game. Tom Bahali is, in my opinion, the best edge-rushing linebacker in the league right now.
Sure, he's definitely Lawrence Taylor throwback.
100%. He went to linebacker university. He went to Penn State. And that defense, him, Eric Berry, Dontari Poe, Johnson, they kind of all play off of each other.
Right.
And just like we said with Chicago, when you have a guy that's a gaping void left, yeah, we're going to have an issue with that. And
sure.
I'm surprised at how good San Diego looked. I think San Diego's a dark horse to squeak into that sixth seed. I have a funny feeling right now.
I don't really want to call them a dark horse because I really think they have the potential to make it. I don't think they do much in the postseason.
Oh, no. Anybody who makes that sixth seed is one and done.
Yeah, that depends on who they're going to play. I mean,
right now it shakes down to be Cincinnati. And Cincinnati.
But Cincinnati's very streaky. They're hit and miss. You never know what you're going to get with them.
And there's no Geno Atkins, and Andy Dalton doesn't beat non-Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. So
there you go. the rushing stats: Ryan Matthews, 14 rushes, 55 yards and a touchdown. Danny Woodhead, 6 rushes, 25 yards and a touchdown. Heading on over to the Chiefs, Jamaal Charles. He's had a lackluster season also. Had himself a decent game, 14 rushes, 115 yards, 2 touchdowns. Nobody else was above 5 yards.
We say lackluster, but he's actually in the top 5 in rushing yards this year.
Right.
And he's done it quietly.
He's done it very quietly.
And the funny thing is that it's his offense. If you really think about it, they don't have – I mean, Dwayne Bowe is good. But Dwayne Bowe – we had the talk all in the offseason if Dwayne Bowe was even going to stay or not.
Right, and I had said that if Alex Smith signs, he was going to stay. And
And 100%.
Little pigskin prophecy there for me.
Absolutely, and it broke out that way. But, I mean, you think about it. They have no wide receiver. They have no tight end.
Right.
They have no backup running back.
True.
Their backup running back is Dexter McCluster. I mean, that's not exactly. He's usually a wide receiver. There's nothing that really ties the team. And I'm pulling up Jamaal Charles' stats right now before we move on because, you know, like you said, you know, it's been a lackluster season. But, I mean, he's already rushed. In 11 games, he's got 918 yards. I mean, he's on pace to be just as good as last year when he had 1,500.
Right.
But, I mean.
You're right. You know what? I mean, you know, I didn't realize 8 touchdowns this season. Two of them in this week. But that's
the difference.
Right.
They're leaving him in during goal line situations where last year or the year before, they would have a different running back that could just plow the line. They're leaving it up to Jamaal Charles now to be that guy, which is fine.
Yeah. So you're right. I take back my lackluster comment, and I'm going to go with a very quiet season for him.
There you go.
Thank you, sir. The San Diego Chargers receiving stats, Keenan Allen, 9 grabs, 124 yards, no touchdowns. Eddie Royal, 4 grabs, 87 yards. Danny Woodhead, 4 grabs, 45 yards and a touchdown. Ladarius Green, 3 grabs for 80 yards and a touchdown. C.A. Ajiratutu.
Easy for you to say.
Exactly. 1 grab, 26 yards and a touchdown. I just want to put this out there. For everybody that has to put up all these names, all these stat sites and stuff like that, could you put a little something next to it that tells you how to pronounce this? That would make life for a lot of us very, very easy.
Nice, huh? The little parentheses with the pronounced as.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You know, dumbify it for some of us. Dumbify isn't really a word.
Sounds
I just made it up.
Sounds like chicken soup.
The Kansas City Chiefs, Dexter McCluster, 7 grabs, 59 yards. Dwayne Bowe, 5 grabs, 51 yards and a touchdown. Donnie Avery, 4 grabs, 91 yards and a touchdown. And Anthony Fasano, 4 grabs, 21 yards and a touchdown. Okay, heading on over to Baltimore, where Chris's New York Jets visited the Baltimore Ravens. Baltimore, you know, I want to say Baltimore beat up on them because the score was 19-3, but neither team really had a very good game.
No.
You know, Geno Smith, 9 of 22 for 127 yards, 2 interceptions. Joe Flacco, 17 of 26, 273 yards, a touchdown and a pick. That's been pretty average for him all season.
Yeah, without question.
Rushing stats, nobody really ran the ball very well at all for either team. Although the Jets were just a little bit better. Bilal Powell, 11 rushes, 41 yards. Chris Ivory, 9 rushes, 35 yards. For the Ravens, Bernard Pierce, 11 rushes, 30 yards. Ray Rice, 16 rushes for 30 yards. He has definitely been non-existent for the Ravens all season.
Yeah, we've always said that the run dictates the pass. Actually, the last few years, it's been the complete opposite. The pass dictates the run. And I think Anquan Boldin not being there is hurting Joe Flacco throwing the ball, and it's hurting Ray Rice running the ball even more. I mean, Bernard Pierce has statistically, when he's in there, had a higher average. He's had a better up and down. He's been a lot better than Ray Rice, which is sad.
Right.
So, I mean, it's been a tough year, but they're right there. And as we go into the Thanksgiving Day games, you'll see that they're right there, man. They're the team that can get – they're the Giants of 2007 back into the playoffs and make that run.
We'll see. I mean, again, Flacco really hasn't been doing much. But, I mean, even with – you have Torrey Smith who can do it. Torrey Smith is an adequate replacement for Anquan Boldin. Should be able to handle it, but it is what it is. Going on over to the receiving stats, Bilal Powell, 3 grabs, 24 yards. Greg Salas, 2 grabs, 48 yards. Kellen Winslow, welcome back, 2 grabs, 34 yards. Everybody else was below 15. Heading on over to the Ravens, Jacoby Jones, 4 grabs, 103 yards, and a touchdown. Ed Dixon, 3 grabs, 55 yards. Dallas Clark, 3 grabs, 24 yards. Torrey Smith, 2 grabs, 74 yards. Everybody else was below 10. Heading on over to Houston. Houston played host to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Do you consider this an upset? Jaguars win this one 13-6.
Not with the way Houston's played this year.
Okay.
Houston's dangerously close to being the seller team this year.
Yeah. Yeah, Chad Henne for the Jaguars, 23 of 32, 239 yards, no touchdowns, no picks. Case Keenum, 18 of 34, 169 yards, no touchdowns and a pick. Is this Case Keenum coming back down to earth? Is this him starting to struggle as a rookie or just a bad game?
It's everybody finally seeing what he's all about. I mean, the first game, it's just like when a pitcher goes in and he's a rookie pitcher. No one has any kind of any paperwork on him, any scouting report.
Right.
And he has a great game. And then two starts later, he tanks. That's this.
Okay.
That people are finally starting to game plan for him and figure out where he's where does he when he rolls out, does he roll to his right? Does he like to roll out to his left? Does he throw across his body? Does he buckle when there's press coverage? Does he buckle when you show blitz and back off? Like that's what everybody's finding out right now. And I think
basically just coordinators figuring him out.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
All right.
Every starting quarterback that's never played a game before is just as effective as a gimmick offense like this, like the Reed and the Wildcat and the Pistol.
All right. Rushing stats for the Jaguars. Maurice Jones-Drew, 14 rushes for 84 yards and a touchdown. Jordan Todman, 11 rushes for 31 yards. Houston Texans, Dennis Johnson, 13 rushes for 74 yards. Nobody else really ran the ball for them. Thought Ben Tate would at least have a better day. 7 rushes, 1 yard. Yeah. Receiving stats for the Jaguars. Cecil Shorts, 8 grabs, 71 yards. Maurice Jones-Drew, 6 grabs for 60 yards. Ace Sanders, 4 grabs for 61 yards. Everybody else was below 20. For the Texans, Garrett Graham, 5 grabs, 32 yards. Ben Tate, 5 grabs for 26 yards. Andre Johnson, 2 grabs for 36 yards. That kind of killed me. Ryan Griffin, 1 grab for 37 yards. Not Brian Griffin, by the way. Rest in peace. Ryan Griffin. So, nobody else really worth mentioning. Heading on over to Oakland. Oakland played host to the Tennessee Titans. Oakland drops one 23-19. Ryan Fitzpatrick for the Titans, 30 of 42, 320 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Matt McGloin, 19 of 32, 260 yards, 1 touchdown and a pick. Rushing stats, Chris Johnson, 2 rushes, 73 yards. Ryan Fitzpatrick rushed the ball 5 times for 26 yards. Heading on over to the Raiders. Rashad Jennings, 16 for 73. Nobody else above 15. Receiving stats for the Titans. Justin Hunter, 6 grabs, 109 yards, and a touchdown. Kendall Wright, 6 grabs, 103 yards, and a touchdown. Delanie Walker, 5 for 46. Nate Washington, 5 for 45. Nobody else above 10. For the Raiders, Rod Streeter, 5 grabs, 93 yards, no touchdowns. Rashad Jennings, 4 grabs, 49 yards. And Marcel Reese, 4 grabs, 44 yards, and a touchdown.
Not to cut you off, NFL, we have NFL Network on, and J.J. Watt was just walking down the hallway, and he was flipping an apple in the air. Looks like he had a hand grenade. Jesus, it's not that bad. It's just football. Relax.
That's it. I can't take this no more. Heading on over to Arizona. This is an upset. Right? 40-11. Arizona over Indianapolis, really?
The score would dictate the upset, but honestly, Arizona's the best damn 7-4 team in the league. Arizona's my pick to squeak into that sixth spot.
They're
in the playoffs.
Very, very quiet 7-4, man.
Dude, that defense is faux real. This was the Arian and Pagano Bowl.
Right.
Teacher and student.
And student won out big.
I said Arizona was going to win this game.
Yep.
Andrew Luck does not win on the road. He does not win against NFC teams on the
road. He barely showed up for this game, though.
Yeah, and can I just put it out there? Listen, I wear glasses. You wear glasses. The lovely Josie wears glasses. It's Bruce Arians' eyeglasses, the worst eyeglasses in the history of football. Listen, it's the NFL. It's not Instagram. He has these hipster, black-rimmed, like Drew Carey 1990s glasses.
Yes.
And it makes his eyes look 10 times their size.
Right.
What happened
right.
to the ones last year? They were nice. Nice, thin frame.
I don't know, maybe.
Aggravating. I texted Phil. Thank you to Phil for filling in for me last week, because I couldn't even speak last week. I had 102 fever, and I had laryngitis for the entire week. But thank you, Phil. And I texted him. I said, he's like an insta-douche. Like he's
Insta
one of those.
Douche.
He's like a
hashtag
hipster.
That.
He's like a hipster, and he wants to take pictures with his iPhone and put a filter on it. It stop. Stop it.
All right. Well, Andrew Luck, 20 of 39, 163 yards, one touchdown and a pick. Carson Palmer, 26 passes, 37. Try this again. 26 completions, 37 attempts, 314 yards, two touchdowns. Heading on over to the rushing stats, Dan Haran for the Colts. Four rushes, 33 yards. Andrew Luck rushed the ball for 31 yards. Trent Richardson, seven rushes, 15 yards. Is he ever going to come back around?
No. He's going to be in 2 years from now when we do another one of those bust shows. He's going to be right up there with the Todd Marinoviches and the Blair Thomases and the Ron Danes of the world. He is the biggest bust right now. Listen, I've said it before. I said it about Matt Ryan, and Matt Ryan proves me right this year. Prove me wrong.
There you go.
Prove me wrong.
There you go. For the Cardinals, Rashad Mendenhall, 13 rushes, 54 yards, and a touchdown. Andre Ellington, 10 rushes for 50 yards. Heading on over to the receiving stats. T.Y. Hilton, 5 rushes, 38 yards. He kind of came crashing back down to earth.
T.Y.
Kobe Fleener, 4 grabs, 55 yards, and a touchdown. LaVon Brazil, 3 grabs for 35 yards. Heading on down to the Cardinals, Michael Floyd, 7 grabs, 104 yards.
LaVon Brazil sounds like a James Bond villain's name.
It really does. Larry Fitzgerald, 5 grabs, 52 yards, 2 touchdowns. Robert Hausler, 4 grabs, 51 yards, no touchdowns. Everybody else was below 45.
And I think Larry Fitzgerald is the perfect example of a wide receiver needs a good quarterback to throw him the ball.
Yeah.
The quarterback makes the wide receiver better, not the other way around. Okay? And you were talking, I was driving in, I heard you talking about the Detroit Lions game. Stafford, to me, isn't an elite quarterback. All he does is throw the ball up and hope Calvin Johnson catches it. Now, we've seen Calvin Johnson go banana sandwich in the first half of games, and then he tails off in the second half.
Right.
And he was so dead tired in that game that he was the one, they called it an interception, but it was really a fumble. Calvin Johnson had it. As soon as he had it, they ripped it right out of his hands.
Exactly.
So, I mean, Larry Fitzgerald now with a decent quarterback, I'm not saying Carson Palmer is anywhere near elite, but having a quarterback that can actually read coverage and get him the ball, he's having a great season.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's about that time, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to take a quick break. You're listening to Tattoos and Touchdowns on MoreLikeRadio.com. We will be right back after this.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Tattoos and Touchdowns.
Best Sunny Show.
Mark out radio with Big T and Dark Fox.
Masters of None.
360 on 420.
The No Name Show.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Lust and Love Radio.
Ham Radio.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by Volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
Sweet speakers with Lance and Kyle.
Yay.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
It's the Red Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
Welcome to the Gentleman Show.
Welcome back to the Ellison Albert Show.
This is the Fifth Circle.
Radio Meltdown.
Consume Radio.
The Nerd Hour.
All right, you're checking out the Cousin Joe Show on More Like Radio.
More Like Radio!
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48. At adamandeve.com.
High Society Radio is now part of MoreLikeRadio.com.
Who's all part of the More Like Radio cavalcade of stars? Who are you joining there?
Oh, well, Hippo Juice, they're the soul behind More right. Like Radio. And we're jumping on there. High Society Radio, that is.
What other kind of shows are over there, though?
Oh, there's plenty. There's just a roster that's ridiculous. There's 360 on 420. Mm-hmm. There's a gentleman show. There's Ain't Social Gamer Radio. There's the Red Show. There's Daytime Divas.
Okay, so you're not out there by yourself in the cold anymore.
No.
You're fucking with...
a family.
Yeah, a real family. A family of gangsters.
Take the edge off. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's like rap music you can understand.
Damn, it feels good to be a gangster.
Welcome back. Tattoos and Touchdowns, MoreLikeRadio.com, every Sunday, 10 a.m. to noon. Right now, we're in the middle of our review of the last week's games. Plus, we're going to be reviewing the Thanksgiving games. We're going to go back to the last Sunday afternoon game. New York Giants played host to the Dallas Cowboys. The Giants dropped this one 24-21. Yeah, I feel the same way, Joe, but I kind of expected it. I really did.
I didn't. I
don't know what it is. There is something very wrong with the Giants this season. And
they have no desire to win.
You know what?
It just seems that way.
That's exactly what it looks like, Joe. You're right. You're 100% right.
Let me ask you a question before we get into the stats. Let me make a comment, and then the Giants wore their white pants again.
There you go.
Fantastic.
I love that look.
It's old school 80s look.
Absolutely.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, and they're playing like 1980.
Like Joe Pisarczyk. If you are Tom Coughlin after this season, do you ride off into the sunset, or do you want to come back one more year just to state your claim? Even if you don't make it to the, even if you don't win a Super Bowl next year, do you want to just come back and have a winning season just to say, now I can go?
You always want to go out on top. You always want to go out on top. And recently, you've had players like Jerome Bettis, Michael Strahan retire after winning the Super Bowl. That's an ideal way to go out.
Of course, there's nothing
else to do. You're going out a champion.
Top of the mountain.
Right. As a coach, you kind of have to wonder at this point, have you lost your team? You know,
that happens every year, though, with him.
No, but you know what? Not like this. Not like this. He's been with Eli Manning, Eli's entire career. So we're looking at 10 years now. Mm-hmm. Okay. He struggled when he first came in. He struggled gaining the team because, you know, he was Major Tom. He was strict. You had to do this. You had to do that. Guys like Strahan absolutely hated him. Hated him. After a year or two, Strahan was heard saying, you know what? I would follow this guy anywhere.
Yeah.
He's now at the point where, you know, he said earlier in the season this was probably going to be his last season anyway. If I'm Tom Coughlin, do I want to go out like this? No, but I think I might.
I think you get to a point where, and listen, this is completely different as far as the old school coaches, the Tom Landrys, the Vince Lombardis, the Chuck Knowles.
Right.
This is something different. You don't see a coach in the same spot for 10 years. It doesn't happen anymore.
Not unless you're a Pittsburgh Steelers coach.
Right. Mainly because you get to a point where the players have ADD. They don't care about what you're saying anymore. Like, Pete Carroll sucked when he first was in the NFL.
Right.
He was too much of a rah-rah coach. People didn't like it. He goes to college. He has an amazing career at USC.
Well, let's face it, he did also coach the Jets.
Right. That's fine. He goes to USC, has an amazing career, whether he bought the players or not, that's not the point. He comes back into the NFL as a head coach of Seattle, and now they're drinking the Pete Carroll Kool-Aid. Even at 7-9, they were drinking the Pete Carroll Kool-Aid.
Right.
And he's turned that team around to a point where, head coaches coming out of college now are more desirable because it's only like a 5-year block. You got these guys for about as long as you're a freshman.
Yeah.
Like and then they get ushered out because they don't want to hear you anymore. So right. I mean, I love Coughlin. I think Coughlin will go down as one of the greatest coaches in NFL history. He has to.
I don't know if he goes down as one of the greatest coaches, but I think he definitely goes down as if he's going to go down as one of the greatest coaches. He's not top 10.
Really?
Not top 10, no.
We got to do that on a show in between the Super Bowl week. In between the Super Bowl week.
Well, we got something special to do. Super Bowl week.
But
we will definitely get into that during the offseason.
I want to do a top 10 against each other on coaches.
Okay.
Because right. Coughlin's definitely in my top 10. Coughlin's almost in my top 5.
I don't know, man. I really have to do a little more research than that. But off the top of my head, I would not put him as a top 10 coach.
Excuse me, I'm warming up my Tootsie Roll.
Whoa, listen. Under the desk, pal. Under the desk. So we'll go into the stats in this game. Tony Romo, 23 of 38, 234 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception. Eli Manning, 16 of 30, 174 yards, 2 touchdowns. No interceptions. Good for you, Eli. Cowboys rushing stats. DeMarco Murray, 14 rushes for 86 yards. Andre Brown had himself a day. Him and Jacobs had a good day, too. Andre Brown, 21 rushes, 127 yards. Brandon Jacobs, 9 rushes for 75.
And when you get to the receiving stats, Andre Brown had a decent day in the backfield catching the ball as well.
We'll get to that in a minute. Receiving stats for the Cowboys, Dez Bryant, 9 grabs, 86 yards. Jason Witten, 4 grabs, 37 yards, 2 touchdowns. Surprise.
Giant killer.
Yeah, giant killer and Tony Romo's favorite target. Always against the Giants.
Yeah. Just shows how bad the Giants linebacking core outside of Beeson is, though.
Yeah.
No one can stick him.
Exactly. DeMarco Murray grabbed the ball 3 times for 40 yards. Nobody else really worth mentioning. For the Giants, Andre Brown, 4 grabs for 11 yards. Reuben Randle, 3 for 64. You got something to say about
it? I'll take the Andre Brown 4 in a PPR league because that's what I'm in.
Sure.
And I got him. I have him in a couple of leagues. Now, I picked him up as soon as I heard he was coming back.
Right.
In the radio league, I lost to Kira. I lost to Vic's Doggy Daycare by 5 points.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah. Well, listen, I was just trying to play spoiler for the end of the season. I knew I wasn't going to make the playoffs.
This is the last week of the regular season in the Fantasy League. We will get into that a little bit later.
Yeah, we have to.
Brandon Myers, 3 grabs, 39 yards and a touchdown. Lewis Murphy, 1 grab, 4 yards, 1 touchdown for the Giants. Heading on over to the Sunday night game, Denver and New England.
I called it.
Yeah. You know what? It was a tough one. Tough one to pick, really.
Game of the year, first of all.
Well, I don't know if I want to call it game of the year just because the way it went down. It was definitely the story of two halves.
That's why, for me, it's game of the year. I hate the ending of the game. Completely hated the ending of the game. But up until the punt that was muffed by one of the guys on Denver.
Right.
It was, in my eyes, I mean, I watched the beginning of the game, and I'm like, it's 24-0, and my wife goes, this game's over. I'm like, it's not over yet. It's Tom Brady.
Yeah.
I hate him, but it's Tom Brady.
Right. It was funny, because my wife had stepped out for a little bit. I was watching the game. She came home. Just as it went into halftime, I'm like, you know what? It's 24-0. I said, I'm really not. I lost interest in the game, honestly. So we've only watched half of Sons of Anarchy. Let's finish it up, and then, you know, whatever. So we finished last week's Sons of Anarchy. We look at the, we turn the TV back on. Then all of a sudden, I hear loud cheering, and I'm like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
And Dawn's like, what? I'm like,
It was Aaron Hernandez in jail. Yay!
Right. We turned it back on. We watched Denver tie it up. She goes, oh, do you want to watch something else? I was like, yes, this. You are now watching two of the greatest quarterbacks when it comes to the comeback. When it comes to a game-winning drive, you have the King in Peyton Manning and the Prince in Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You had to watch.
It's almost like the King and the Monarch if you want to go. I mean, there's no one better, and I've said this before, and I will say it until I'm proven wrong. Give me Peyton Manning in the regular season. And when it comes to the playoffs, give me anybody except Peyton Manning. Usually give me Tom Brady.
Right, absolutely.
This was the 14th time they met each other.
Tom Brady owns him.
Tom Brady flat out owns him. And it's not to say that Indy's when Peyton was on Indy, he had bad teams
not
around
at all.
Him. Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and Joseph Addai and Edgerrin James, and he had offense. He just never had a defense. And the only time he really won was when he had the defense with Dwight Freeney and Bob Sanders. Right. But Tom Brady is Tom Brady. He always will be. And he just goes to show that I just don't like the ending of this game, man.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
Wes Welker comes in really quick because this is the most important part of the game. Wes Welker comes in because
Danny Trevathan?
His last name is Holiday. I'm getting the first name completely mixed up with somebody else. He was having fumble problems. They bring in Wes Welker to field the punt. Welker doesn't tell the guy, the up man, that it's going to be short. It winds up, poison, and right. Then they have to run out of the area. The ball hits the guy. Recovered by the Patriots, run two plays, kick a field goal, game over. It was a nauseating way to end the game for something that was, in my eyes, outside of the New England-Carolina game the week before, the game of the year.
Right. And, I mean, if you look at it statistically, a horrible week for Peyton Manning. 19 of 36, 150 yards, 2 touchdowns and an interception.
I had Alex Smith on the bench, and he doubled the point total for Peyton Manning.
There you go. Tom Brady, 34 of 50, 344 yards, 3 touchdowns. Rushing stats. No Sean Moreno.
Oh, my God, dude.
37 rushes, 224 yards, and a touchdown. That's unheard of for a running back.
When Peyton Manning has faith in somebody, he has no faith in anybody else. And when it comes down to Ronnie Hillman and Monte Ball, and there's another kid that's a runner that was a rookie in this game.
CJ Anderson.
Yes, thank you. He doesn't trust any of them.
Right.
So, no Sean Moreno has the least amount of dropsies. Guess what? You're running the ball 40 times.
That's it. For the Patriots, Brandon Bolden rushed 13 times for 58 yards going into the receiving stats. For the Broncos, Jacob Tammy, 5 grabs, 47 yards and a touchdown. Demaryius Thomas, 4 grabs, 41 yards and a touchdown. Wes Welker, 4 grabs, 31 yards and a blown fair catch call. New England, Julian Edelman, 9 grabs, 110 yards, 2 touchdowns. Rob Gronkowski, 7 grabs, 90 yards and a touchdown. And he was not held in the end zone this time either.
I loved Edelman having that big of a game up against Wes Welker.
Yeah.
Kind of like a big FU.
Yep. Going on over to the Monday night game, Washington played host to San Francisco. Sleeper of the week. San Francisco 49ers win 27-6. This game was absolutely horrible to watch.
I got to be honest. I watched the first quarter. I think it was 10-0 or 7-0.
7-0.
And I literally took the remote and went, I'm going to bed.
Right,
I couldn't watch it.
Colin Kaepernick, 15 of 24, 235 yards, 3 touchdowns. Robert Griffin III, 16 for 26 for 118 yards and an interception. Rushing stats. Frank Gore, 13 rushes, 31 yards. Nobody else worth mentioning. Washington Redskins, Alfred Morris, 14 rushes for 52 yards. Again, nobody else worth mentioning.
This question was posed to me, and I want to pose it to you because obviously we're talking about Washington now. You're the front office of Washington. Is RG3 bye-bye or is Shanahan bye-bye? Now, I know my answer. I need to hear yours because I'm pretty sure it's the same way.
I got to go Shanahan.
Bye-bye Shanahan.
Bye-bye Shanahan.
Yeah, exactly.
I got to go Shanahan because RG3 was mishandled. He probably shouldn't have brought back as early as he was.
Right.
On top of that, you gave him no reps in the preseason. You can't necessarily say this is RG3's fault because his production has dropped off. You got to kind of wonder if it's play calling.
Yeah, and I'll go even a step past that. Washington sacrificed their entire draft this year to St. Louis for RG3 last year. You cannot give a quarterback 1 year and call him a bust.
No.
And there's he's not a bust.
No, there's something to be said about the sophomore slump, especially with a quarterback.
Absolutely.
Receiving stats for the 49ers, Anquan Boldin, 5 grabs, 94 yards, 2 touchdowns. Vernon Davis, 4 grabs, 70 yards and a touchdown. For the Redskins, Pierre Garçon, leading receiver, 8 grabs, 48 yards. Nobody else really worth mentioning. So, now let's go over to the Thanksgiving games.
Turkey Day.
Gobble. Oh, hold on.
You were working on Turkey Day, huh?
I certainly was.
But you had a feast, didn't you?
Oh, my God. My coworkers can absolutely bring it when it comes to cooking. heading on over, we'll start with the first game. This game I was insanely upset with.
Okay.
Green Bay Packers, Detroit Lions. Lions win this one 40-10. The score should have been much wider.
Oh, yeah.
Green Bay played atrociously, okay? But at the same time, the Lions turned the ball over a couple times early. That's what gave Green Bay their points.
And Joyce Bell had a day, though. But we'll get to the rushing stats.
Yeah. Matt Flynn, 10 completions, 20 attempts, 139 yards, and an interception. Matthew Stafford, 22 of 35, 330 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Rushing stats for the Packers, Eddie Lacy, big day for him. 10 rushes, 16 yards. The Lions, Reggie Bush, 20 rushes, 117 yards, and a touchdown. Joyque Bell, 19 rushes for 94 yards and a touchdown. Receiving stats, James Jones, 3 grabs, 79 yards. Eddie Lacy, 2 grabs for 23 yards. Jordy Nelson, 2 grabs for 14 yards. Nobody else worth mentioning. Detroit Lions, Calvin Johnson, welcome back. Had a little off week last week. 6 grabs, 101 yards and a touchdown. Reggie Bush, 5 grabs, 65. Chris Durham, 3 grabs, 68 yards. Joyque Bell, 3 grabs, 35 yards. Everybody else, less than 30.
Oh, and I heard what you guys were talking about with the first Detroit game that you covered with Joseph Fourier.
Right.
What he's doing with every touch, and he's doing the history of dance.
Right.
So this week was the hustle. Stop it. Stop it.
You know what, though? Good for him.
I know maybe one white guy who can dance. Phil. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. For a guy the size of Phil, he actually moves quite eloquently and surprising.
I have to see him dance.
Oh, man.
It's Phil Astaire.
Okay.
Now, Tim Maste, the kicker, the place kicker for Detroit.
Uh-huh.
On kickoffs, kicked the ball out of bounds twice. And no, not through the end zone.
To the sides.
To the sides.
Yeah.
How do you do that?
And it's not even like there's wind.
No, you were in a dome. You were in. Don't angle the kick on a kickoff. You're going to kick. It's going to go in the end zone. With the way everything's set up now, it goes into the end zone automatically. No question asked. Yeah. It's a matter of whether or not these guys want to it back. 99% of the kickers actually kick it through the end zone.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to angle your kick? It's not a punt, you moron. Sorry about that. I just had to let that out. Let's head on over on to Dallas. Dallas wins 31-24 over the Oakland Raiders.
Great game.
Yeah, I unfortunately missed it because we were having some reception problems with CBS, so I couldn't see it.
Yeah, I was actually in a almost food coma at this point.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Matt McGloin, 18 of 30, 255 yards and an interception. Tony Romo, 23 of 32, 225 yards and a touchdown. Rushing stats, Rashad Jennings, 17 rushes, 35 yards, 2 touchdowns.
And a concussion.
Dallas Cowboys, rushing stats. Lance Dunbar, 12 rushes, 82 yards. DeMarco Murray, 17 rushes, 63 yards, 3 touchdowns.
He almost had 4.
Yeah.
He almost had 4. At one point, he had every touchdown for the Cowboys.
Receiving stats for the Raiders. Andre Holmes, 7 grabs, 136 yards. Rod Streeter, 3 grabs, 57 yards. Nobody else over 30. Dallas Cowboys, Dez Bryant, kind of a pedestrian day for him. 7 grabs, 61 yards and a touchdown. Pardon me. DeMarco Murray, 5 grabs for 39 yards. Jason Witten, 3 for 53. Nobody else above 25. Heading on over to Baltimore. Baltimore edges out the Pittsburgh Steelers in a bit of a barn burner, 22-20.
Amazing game. Amazing game. Did you get a chance to see it?
No, I did not. I was commuting home at that point.
Okay, so at the end of the game, before we get to the stats, Pittsburgh has a chance to. They're driving down the field. They got a chance to win it. They're down by 8. They need a touchdown. Need 2-point conversion. Now, the funny thing about this game is, I'm in an office pool at work. My wife has her office pool. She took Pittsburgh getting 3 points. I took Baltimore to win because mine is a pick 'em league.
Right.
I had already won the first 2 games of the week of the day, and I needed the third one. And I said, all right, all I need is Pittsburgh to score the touchdown, miss the 2-point conversion, and we'll both clear for the day.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. They must have taken 6 shots at the end zone on like a third down
right.
at the end of the game. They were a yard out.
Yep.
And before that happened, we also had the Mike Tomlin incident.
That's exactly where I was going next. I want to hear your opinion on this because I'm pretty sure it's similar to mine. What was Tomlin doing?
Exactly what it looked like.
Thank you.
He is who we thought he is. Like that, he knew. Listen, was it Jacoby Jones?
Yes.
Has complete burnout speed. You can't touch him.
Right.
Okay. He was looking to even the playing field. You don't look at the screen when the guy is behind you just to stand there waiting for a bus. It's not happening.
Exactly.
He did it on purpose. It worked. He had the smile on his face. Is it right? No. Is it funny? Hell yes. He should get fined by the league.
Though. He's definitely going to be fined by the league. And I was listening to the radio on the way here, and unfortunately it was Mike Francesa. But he said it. He goes, he should be fined heavily. He's going to get a severe reprimand from the NFL, but he's not going to be suspended.
Right.
He doesn't feel that way anyway. I don't think he's going to be suspended.
He's not
going to
get suspended.
But let's face it, you know,
other coaches have done it.
Right. This is, and I think what's going to wind up happening now is the NFL is going to go back to maybe 10, 15 years ago when everybody had the get back coach. You remember that?
Yeah.
Every, you know, you have to stand behind. You see all those other colored lines on the sideline. The players have to stay behind a certain line. And the get back coach, all his responsibility was, didn't have a position. His responsibility was, stay behind the line, guys. Stay behind the line. So nobody else interfered. I think this may start to bring that back.
Because
I think other coaches are going to sit there and go, hey, I could probably get away with that too.
Right.
You know, I'm just going to say I was looking at the Jumbotron instead of the play.
Now, if he would have hit Jacoby Jones, if they would have knocked into each other,
suspension.
They would have, besides that, they would have given him a touchdown.
Yes.
Because there was no one around him.
Right.
You know, I was actually thinking about it before, and I missed it when we talked about the Chicago-St. Louis game. Howie Long went to St. Louis to see that game because both of his sons.
Rivalry. Yeah.
And they wound up getting into a brawl with each other on the field. Like, look what I can do, Dad. Like, really? Sorry.
Dad, you used to play for Oakland. Is this how it went?
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry we didn't talk about it then, but it popped into my head. And
yep.
Just getting set. But yeah, Mike Tomlin, if Tomlin would have hit into Jacoby Jones, it would have been a touchdown, and then he would have got suspended.
Right. But to go to the stats, Ben Roethlisberger, 28 of 44, 257 yards, 2 touchdowns. Joe Flacco, 24 of 35, 251 yards and a touchdown. Rushing stats, Le'Veon Bell, 16 rushes, 73 yards and a touchdown. Ravens, Bernard Pierce, 9 rushes, 35 yards. Ray Rice, 12 of 32. Going to the receiving stats, Heath Miller, 8 grabs, 86 yards. Le'Veon Bell, 7 grabs, 63 yards. Emmanuel Sanders, 6 grabs, 43 yards and a touchdown. Jericho Cotchery, 2 grabs, 6 yards, 1 touchdown. Head on over to the Ravens, Torrey Smith, 6 grabs, 93 yards and a touchdown. Jacoby Jones, 4 for 53. Ray Rice, 6 for 38. Nobody else above 30. So that covers all our reviews for the week.
Jesus.
Yeah, finally. Whew. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Wet the whistle. When we come back, we're going to preview the rest of this week's games, plus the Thursday night game coming up. Then we'll do a little bit of fantasy, and then we'll do a little bit of chit-chatting about some controversy.
Yay.
So you'll listen to Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We will be back after this.
Hey, it's your boy, the impact player, Mr. Philly Rea.
And, of course, your host with the most, Big JP.
And we are?
The Man Cave Radio Show.
Listen, check out our boys, the Sully Show, every Sunday from noon to 2, exclusively on
MoreLikeRadio.com.
That's right. Check them out.
Bitches.
You'll love them.
I bet you will.
Yep.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's your boy, Footer from the Red. Make sure you check us out every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on More Like Radio.
Following Hippo Jew.
We're following an overweight banker? What does he do, like a Saul Roth stream? Talking accounting right here on More Like Radio.
No. I said Hippo Juice.
Oh, Juice.
Yes.
I know Hippo Juice. They rule. All right, boom. Listen to Hippo Juice. Then listen to us, 9 p.m. Wednesdays, live.
Do you like video games? Are you a little antisocial? Well, listen to Antisocial Gamer Radio, Tuesdays from 3 to 5 on morelikeradio.com.
Join Marianne and Kitty on Daytime Divas, where Marianne's milkshake
brings all the creepers to the yard, and their life is better than yours. Damn right, it's better than yours. I could teach you, but I have to charge. Daytime Divas, Thursdays at 8 a.m. on morelikeradio.com.
Welcome back. Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. It's not FM, it's not XM, it's More Like Radio.
Like I told you yesterday with the other song, this Tool song is fantastic.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I'm not going to say what I said to Will privately, but...
he told me he loved me.
But, yeah. This song is like number two behind the Soundgarden song.
To absolutely.
Run around with a spiked helmet. All right.
All right, let's get into the previews of this week's games.
What was this, week 13?
Something like that.
Yeah, it's week 13. The season goes too damn fast. All
right. You ain't kidding.
Anyway, Pros versus Joe.
Oh, hold on a second.
Oh, my first game.
No, it's not the first game. I'm just getting everybody the recap. It's last week, Joe and Will both went 2-3.
Awful.
Joe hit with the Tennessee Titan game by himself.
I know, but I don't understand how the Giants lost.
Neither do I.
I do.
I went 3.
I was very happy about the Packers getting their ass kicked.
Yes, I know. Yeah. I know.
I mean, really.
Why is that, Joe?
I felt like they're a bunch of fags. I wanted to call up Hammy and just say, "Hi, are you watching the game?"
I went 3-2 this week, last week. So the way it breaks down, Will is in first place at 37-23. I'm in second place at 34-26.
Too close.
And Joe is in third, a respectable above 500,
yes,
31-29.
Yes, considering the way I pick him. That's pretty good.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
All right. So the first game of the week, the first 1 o'clock game, is not a Pros versus Joe game. We have Tennessee going to Indianapolis. Tennessee is a 3.5-point underdog. Indy at home. I don't care. I take Tennessee this week on one of the upsets. Ooh. Tennessee keeps it rolling. Andrew Luck is floundering. I don't like him. Chuck Pagano's never lost back-to-back games. Blah, 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 blah. It still doesn't matter to me. Tennessee wins this game.
Oh, wow. I got to be honest with you. I have to go with Indianapolis on this one. I think Andrew Luck, he's been struggling lately. I think he's going to start to figure out everything and start to make his comeback. And he needs to start doing that now because playoffs are right around the corner.
Oh, yeah.
You have four regular season games left.
They lose this game, Tennessee's a game out of first. This is a big game for Tennessee.
Absolutely.
And I like Fitzpatrick more than I like Locker. All right. Next game up, it's been flexed to a 4:25 start. We're going to actually, this is a Pros versus Joe game. It's the first one of the week.
Okay.
Denver, and by the way.
Okay.
You broke rules last week.
How did I break rules?
With Pros versus Joe. You said you would never pick a Jet game, yeah. You would never pick a Giant game, and you would never pick a Packer game.
Was I sick? Was I sick?
I'm just saying.
All right. I'm glad we sorted that out. All right.
Okay. I have to pick the Jets and the Giants. I just have to. And I got my ass kicked on those two games.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't do it. Listen, it's no. I didn't do it for anything. For any.
You guys are just trying to hold me.
I was 1-1 on those games. I didn't do it for any personal gain.
It's malicious.
Yeah. All right. So we have Denver. On the road, 6.5-point favorite against Kansas City. Battle for first place. If you win, you're in first place all by yourself in the AFC West and in the AFC itself. You lose, you're in fifth. I'm going Denver on the road still. I have to take Denver. I Kansas City's beat up. I don't know if Tom Bahali is playing. That's a big if. I got to go Denver in this game. Will, who do you got?
I, too, am going Denver. I think Peyton Manning's going to be very upset about his performance last week. And I think he's going to want to bring it to Kansas City just to make a point.
Joe?
Well, it's unanimous. Is that the right word? Unanimous.
So far, it depends.
Or is that magnanimous? So, anyway, I agree with you guys. I think Denver will win this game because the other guys suck.
They are
amazing analysis from super producer Joe C.
They are the softest 9-2. Yeah. They really are. And we spoke about it in the earlier in the season, but we can't get into it now. We're kind of up against it. But they smoke and mirrors like Carolina. That's a smoke and mirrors team right there at 9-2. And I think they're on the steady decline now. Don't be surprised if they go 10-6 for the end of the season, starting off the season at 9-0.
I don't know about that, but I definitely think they're starting to struggle, and it's going to wind up affecting them.
Right, next game, not a pros versus Joe game. We have Jacksonville on the road in Cleveland. Cleveland is a 7-point favorite in this game. I'm riding the hot hand, the fact that Cleveland has no quarterbacks. Neither does Jacksonville, but still, they still have a running game. I got Jacksonville in this game with the spread and straight up.
Straight up, I take Cleveland. With the spread, I take Jacksonville.
Okay.
It's going to kind of be like a futility bowl for me.
Pros versus Joe game.
All right.
We have Tampa on the road, 7-point underdogs against Carolina. Here's my crystal ball game.
Uh-oh.
I'm taking Tampa.
How dare you?
Sorry. I'm taking the Mercer's Heroes. Carolina is the worst 8-3 I've ever seen.
Yeah, but really?
Tampa is playing without a care in the world. They're playing quite well. Glennon looks good.
Yeah.
Every running back they've put in, they've stepped in crap with.
Yep.
Tampa wins this game outright. I got Tampa by 10 in this game.
Wow.
There's my pigskin prophecy.
All right.
Of the week, huh?
Joe, what do you got?
Well, I'm sorry. I have to go with Carolina rice because that's one of my favorite dishes. I like rice. Matter of fact, I had rice just the other day, and it was really good. And Carolina is extra long grain rice. Now, long grain, long gain, same thing. Long grain, long gain. So when they throw the ball, it will be a long gain.
I can't wait to cut this stuff up for the best running gag for the MLR
Awards.
Seriously.
Carolina all the way.
All right. I actually am also picking Carolina.
Long grain rice.
Oh, Jesus.
Don't you remember the song?
No.
I come from Carolina.
Joe, you're 56 years older than me.
He's talking about the. He remembers the song because there was no TVs. It was just
right.
It was just on the radio dial.
He was listening to FDR's Fireside Chats.
Exactly.
I'd see when picking Carolina. I think Carolina's defense is better than the Tampa Bay offense, and I think Cam Newton is better than the Tampa Bay defense.
And that man who never. Sorry.
All right.
Winston Churchill.
All right, let's let's go to the next game. What do we got?
All right. Not a pros versus Joe game. We have Chicago on the road against Minnesota. Minnesota's a 1-point favorite in this game. I'm taking Chicago, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Chicago's porous defense. Their lackluster offense. Minnesota's lackluster defense and their porous offense.
They're still both bad. I mean, Adrian Peterson could be on track to rush for 300 yards in this game, but he'll rush for 300 yards and no touchdowns.
We'll not find the end zone.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
So, bend but don't break. Chicago wins this game even with Josh McCown as the quarterback. They just have too many weapons on offense.
Chicago by 6.
Fair enough. That's fair. I just hope they don't crap the bed like they did last week.
Yeah.
Pros versus Joe game. We have Arizona on the road. In Philly, Philly's a 3-point favorite in this game. Joe, go ahead. Start us off.
Well, Arizona's wearing white, right?
Yes.
That means because they're awake and they're harder to see with white. We all know that. That's very. But Philadelphia is the Phillies.
Eagles.
Eagles.
Battle of the Birds. Eagles and Cardinals.
Eagles and Cardinals.
Yeah, these are tough.
An eagle
for
is
Joe
much
pick.
Stronger than a Cardinal. There's no question about it. I'm going to have to go with the Eagles, even though they're wearing white, the other team. So I'm going with the Eagles. Philadelphia. Come on, Philly. They're very close to home, too. We're close to Philly. Miles away.
Joe's going to get his own spin-off show. He's just going to read the games of the week and just do this for 2 hours, and we don't have to do anything. Who do you got, Will?
I'm going with the Cardinals in this one.
All right.
I think the offense is just better, even though Nick Foles has been kind of tearing it up. I just think Arizona's got the better offense to win this one.
I have Arizona winning out for the rest of the season. I think Arizona's going to make a deep run, even contend for the West.
Okay.
They got a legit shot with this, and I got to back it up. If I'm going to say that they're going to be my number 6 seed in the league, in the division, in the conference, I got to give them a chance. So
sure enough.
It starts this week again, and Arizona rolls a little bit more. So yes, I'm taking Arizona. We have Miami on the road, 2-point underdogs against the Jets. I'm sorry, Miami's winning this game.
I think Miami wins this game also, but you know what? Miami and Jets, the Dolphins and Jets, always a good game.
Yeah, and always I would take Miami with getting the 2 points, and the Jets last week broke the streak of win-loss.
Right, they finally lost two in a row.
They're going to lose three in a row now. We have Atlanta.
Do the Jets struggle for the remainder of the season now?
Oh, yeah. They struggle for the remainder of the season. Week 17, Matt Sims is going to start.
Okay.
And I'm hoping that they struggle enough that they get a high pick. Marquise Lee is looking better and better every day, and Rex Ryan goes bye-bye. That's just one Jet fan. I'm speaking for the masses. We have Atlanta traveling to Buffalo. Buffalo's a 4-point favorite in this game. No Tony Gonzalez in this game. Tony Gonzalez is hurt. It wasn't me. I didn't do it.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm positive. Fingers crossed. I have Buffalo in this game.
This one's actually really tough. Atlanta has struggled mightily. Buffalo has overperformed at times. Wow. You know what? Just for the sake of being different, I'm going to go Atlanta.
Okay. Fair enough. For no other analysis.
Yeah.
For the sake of being different. We have St. Louis traveling to San Francisco. San Francisco is a 7.5-point favorite in this game. That spread I don't like. I'm still going to go San Francisco. Mario Manningham is back. They're starting to get healthier.
Right.
I liked Kaepernick last week. I think St. Louis has a better defense than Washington, obviously. But I got San Francisco in this game, and I'll take them with the spread. I'll lay off the 7.5. I think they win by 9.
Straight up, I'm picking San Francisco. With the spread, I'm picking St. Louis. I think St. Louis's defense, a lot of people are sleeping on. They're not as bad as everybody thought they were going to be.
No, they're good.
So
they're good.
I think that defense is going to step up a little bit. Colin Kaepernick, again, he's another guy. He's hit and miss. One week he throws for 250 yards, and next week he's throwing for 6.
Absolutely.
So I think this is the week he's going to throw for 6.
Yeah.
Not 600, 6 yards.
We have New England on the road against Houston. New England's a 7-point favorite. Not only will I take New England on the road, I'll take the points. I would even double that, and I would say that they're going to win by 14.
Ooh.
Houston has no shot in this game.
No, I would take New England. I would even take New England with the points. I don't think they're going to win by 14, maybe 10.
Even though they're from Texas, huh?
Yeah, Houston's been atrocious this season.
Houston, it's a... and we're watching the TV, speaking about the Jet game earlier. Geno Smith has 3 straight games with fewer than 10 completions. That's horrendous.
Product of the offense, though. That's the play calling.
Yeah, well, bye-bye, Rexy. Bye-bye, Morning Wig. Bye-bye, all of them. All right, pros versus Joe game. Cincinnati on the road in San Diego. Cincinnati's a 1-point favorite in this game. Does not matter. I had Cincinnati winning this game and winning it quite handily, actually. Joe. Give it to Joe.
Okay, excuse me. We have Cincinnati, and who were the other guys?
San Diego Chargers.
San Diego, a Charger. That's a very nice car, a Charger.
Yes, but the team is actually named after credit cards.
Really?
Yes. Ah. The owner of the guy who bought and founded the San Diego Chargers.
MasterCard?
Yeah, he had his own credit card company, and he named it the Chargers.
That's okay. Funny.
Now I'm mad at him, so he can't win. Well, we were just talking about this before it started. You
That's
know,
right.
The credit card companies take our money in banks, don't pay us no interest on it, and then lend it back to us in credit cards and charge us exorbitant interest. It right. should be illegal.
Right.
Fuck them. They're going to lose.
That was the adult conversation Joe and I were having.
Yes.
Go Cincinnati.
Okay. So we're going to go with those Bengal Tigers, man. They're going to rip them up, baby.
I am also picking the Bengals in this game. I think Andy Dalton is going to have himself a good day. Phillip Rivers is going to struggle a little bit. So
that's fair. All right, so we have the Sunday night game is the Giants at Washington. This is not a pros versus Joe game. Giants are a 1-point favorite on the road against Washington. This is one of those games that I could see ending in a tie.
No
ties. Ties are terrible. It's like kissing your sister.
I wouldn't know.
Neither would I. I don't have a sister.
Well, we have to talk about this later. Maybe you gave this tie rule to Eddie, and he thinks he's winning now because of the tie.
Yeah, I actually sent him a message.
No.
I sent a tie is a win.
No.
Yeah, now Joe has to do some bare ass kissing.
Yeah.
You have no idea how you affected my life.
Don't worry. We'll take care of it this week, Joe. Don't worry. Okay. We got you.
Giants and Washington.
I'm going to go Giants.
So flip am I. So I'm going to go Giants simply because just watching RG3 struggle, I just don't think he's going to be able to do much this week. I think the Giants' defense is better than their offense.
That's fair.
So it's really coming down to that.
That's the toughest game to pick this week.
Yeah, no, it really is. I mean, I've been actually thinking about that all for the last couple of days.
Like, right.
Who would I pick and beating myself up for it? But I not because I'm a Giants fan. I just think the Giants could actually legitimately win this game.
And the Monday night game is also a pros versus Joe game. And in my eyes, it's the game of the year right now on paper.
Oh, the big one.
On paper.
I don't know about that. But
be surprised, man. Seattle at home, 5-point favorites against New Orleans. Who do you got, Will?
Seattle versus New Orleans in Seattle. I'm going Seattle, man. That 12th man is going to be a big problem for New Orleans.
Joe? Ooh,
well, everybody knows that Seattle is the suicide capital of the world. I mean, just the only thing they got there is coffee and suicide.
No fish market, nothing.
Nothing. No, Seattle,
not the Space Needle.
Well, you know, and they have green grass because it rains all the time, but it's cloudy, it's depressed. Seattle is a depression city. They cannot win. So who's the other guy?
The Saints.
New Orleans, that's good. New Orleans is great. That's Mardi Gras. That's festive. That's happy. Boy, it's like it's kismet. It's the happy guys against the sad guys. I don't want to be happy. I want to be sad. So we're going to definitely have the New Orleans Mardi Gras guys kicking the ass on the suicidal coffee drinkers.
Okay.
That's right.
Well, Chris,
I'm taking New Orleans.
Oh, you smart man.
I don't feel it now, yeah. But I'm taking New Orleans.
Well, take off your top. I'll throw you some beads.
No, easy.
Voluptuous.
I'm taking New Orleans for a few reasons. I think the streak has to come to an end eventually for the 12th man. Ooh. Okay? I think it ends this week. They don't have Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
They don't have Earl Thomas.
Yeah.
That Legion of Boom secondary is completely banged up.
Yeah.
I think Jimmy Graham has 150 yards receiving in this game.
Perfectly reasonable.
I think that Kenny Stills has more receiving yards than Marcus Colson in this game. I'll even go so far to say Lance Moore has more receiving yards than Marcus Colson in this game. Spread-wise, I take Seattle. Given the 5, I think New Orleans wins this game.
Ooh.
28-27.
Ooh.
28-27.
You're thinking a real bomb burner.
That's a closey. I think the pressure guys are going to die on the line there. Yeah.
28-27. I got New Orleans. Again, gut feeling.
Okay.
They're going to have the jitters and everything.
So this week, Will and I picked differently on 1-2. Two games. Joe is rogue with the Eagles.
Yes.
We picked differently on 3 games, by the way.
3 games?
Yep. I picked Carolina. You picked Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. I picked
the Seahawks. I took the Saints.
Oh, yeah, too. All right. I was looking at it incorrectly. I apologize.
And
don't judge me.
I'm sorry. I won't. And Will is rogue. I'm rogue with the Bucks. Joe's rogue with the Eagles. Will is rogue with the Seahawks.
Wow, we all have our upset of the week going there.
There you go.
Yes.
So that's pros versus Joe. That's week 13.
Right.
I'm trying to find the week 14 line.
Carolina.
Race. I had a hard time. I had a hard time with that last week myself, actually. But
it's all right. I'll find it eventually.
Yeah. Whatever. Who's got the week 14 game? I closed that out already. Who's got the Thursday night game?
Yeah, that's what I'm pulling up now. We have fantasy stardom and sit'em coming up.
Saints and Panthers.
No, that's flex to Sunday night. That's going to be a great game.
It absolutely could be a very good game.
I'll find it. We'll go into fantasy and I'll find it.
Yeah, actually, I want to take a quick break. I have to go see a man about a horse.
I'll use the facilities.
That too. So, Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. We will be right back with some Fantasy Stardom and Sit'em, as well as our debates for the week. We will be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Joe Conti's girlfriend. One thing I can always count on is when I listen to him on the show, he will never embarrass me. Until I heard him read some putrid poetry he wrote about some ex-girlfriend that broke his heart. Wah! What a pansy.
Years ago, I made some, I call them writings, I don't want to call them poetry.
I call them writings.
I'm buying into that word.
Writings, Frank. They're writings.
The writings.
And the Ten Commandments are writings. You made poems.
Basically, it was a girl.
The writings of Joe Conti.
Girl who ripped my heart out. Uh-huh. And years ago, before we came here, I was sure it was a girl.
Uh-huh.
Before we came here, I thought it would be great radio to bring the writings in and do them on the air.
I keep saying writings.
And the vicious attack I got, the vicious beating that I took for, well deserved.
Yeah.
But I was telling these girls, but see, what everybody forgets is that I never sent them to her.
What's your pen name, Edgar Allan Poe?
The Conti and Kenny Show.
While in the studio, original guitarist from the Fugees, Joe DeMarco gives Joe Conti some sound advice on his constant quest for weight loss.
My experience? Is it like
Joe DeMarco experience?
Oh, okay. I thought you asked me.
Like now tonight, I just meet you, right?
Right.
And it's an experience for me. So right. I'm going to put it in the album. I'm going to make a song about it like this. You go like this. I'm at a man who want to lose weight. And this time hard of recession. Like the bear, you should keep your weight. That way it costs you less money to feed yourself. Don't eat. Let your mother eat. Don't eat. Let your brother eat. Don't eat. Let your father eat.
And they're all
when you go out, don't eat all you can. Eat what you have. Let the others eat.
You can mention I have emotional problems too. I've been with a lot of hookers. I'm in a relationship now, but I don't know why.
Soon you're gonna find out why. Wake up at night. Let your child eat.
Fucking A, man.
That way you lose a lot of weight.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
Welcome back, Tattoos and Touchdowns, morelikeradio.com. Just real quick, today, after us, is the Sully Show. He's actually interviewing comedian Brian O'Sullivan. No relation, by the way. Brian O'Sullivan on his show today. That should be a good time, should be a funny one.
Absolutely.
So check him out right after us from noon to 2, morelikeradio.com. That's the Sully Show.
And the Red Show, didn't they debut?
The Red Show, they actually debuted. There's a band called Karai, who is a bastardization of some guys from Korn, some guys from Mudvayne. They actually premiered the song from Karai. They were on Wednesday night. So I haven't had a chance to listen to the song yet. My life's been a little crazy this week.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to actually download that show and actually listen to it because it sounds like it's going to be a good one. So
absolutely. More like radio. No rules. Just radio.
Just radio. Ding! Little tribute to ham radio right there.
Thank you, Eddie.
Yeah, you got the big bell. They hit the big bell.
I know, but I kind of want to do it like Danny does it. Just go ding because he doesn't use the bell anymore.
So we got fantasy time, Stardom and Sit'em, and Will has the standings pulled up in the Friends of the Show League.
Well, right now what I have pulled up is the playoff schedule.
If it was to start right now.
If the playoffs were to start right now, absolutely. Actually, it's probably going to – it probably looks like it's going to run up ending like this. Right now, ranked number one is myself. I am 10-1.
You won last week?
I did.
Wow. I thought you weren't – honestly, because of Peyton. I didn't think you were going to pull that off.
I pulled it off. I had a couple of guys come up big for me.
Good. Good for you.
My brother is number two. Number three is the lovely Karen, Chris's wife, Sanchez's headband. Ha ha. You got beat by a girl.
I actually drafted her team, so sit on it and rotate, brother.
Team Grimace, Phil, he's ranked number four. Number five, Jeff Jacobus in the Poisonous Players. Number six, C says, hi, Chris's friend Joe.
Yep.
Okay. Number seven, better than Obamacare, my friend over the pond, Wayne. Number eight, I yell and hoot at. So if that's Tanya, who's a friend of ours from Twitter.
Yes.
If it ends right now, I am playing Tanya. Phil is playing Jeff. Karen's playing Joe. My brother is playing Wayne. Ironically, Wayne and my brother have been friends since birth, basically, because they're only born maybe 2 weeks apart.
Wow.
So this, I'm calling it a grudge match. But yep. That all remains to be seen because, again, the games this week have to be played.
I had an outside shot. If I would have won, if I would have beat Kira last week, I had a chance to play spoiler.
You certainly did.
I had a chance to back in as the 8th seed. But listen, you can't expect to run the table. Like this week, I'm in my big money league. I need to win and have a whole bunch happen right to back in as the 6th. I'm sitting at 8 right now.
Okay.
And the top 6 make the playoffs. I could win and still not make it in.
Right.
Like I could win and become 7th and just not. So there's a lot that has to happen. So listen, to everybody who played, thank you.
Absolutely. And just a quick aside, just to show you how easily things can change. Right now,
top eight make the playoffs.
Top eight make the playoffs out of 14 teams that we have. And aside from myself and my brother, my brother can bump down a spot if he loses and Karen wins. I'm guaranteed the number one spot.
Right.
In the tattoos division, which is the division I'm in, we're sending four teams to the playoffs. Poisonous Players, C says hi, better than Obamacare, all could easily switch spots and switch rankings.
Yeah, but if better than Obamacare loses and the Metalheads win, the Metalheads can back into an 8 spot.
Exactly. Exactly. And then you're looking at the touchdowns division, sending four guys also. My brother is 9-3. Karen is 8-4. Team Grimace is 7-5. I yell and Hoodat is 6-6. Mama of two, who's playing me this week, is also 6-6. If she upsets me and wins, she can back into a playoff spot if things work right.
This has been cool.
So this is like really.
And this is why I made 8 teams make it.
Yeah.
When I saw that we had 14 teams, I said, you know what? Let's have it with 8 and let's give it a shot. What's the worst that could happen? You know?
Yeah, no, exactly.
More teams, more gooder.
More gooder. Much more gooder.
All right, so good luck to everybody in our league. Good luck to everybody fighting for a playoff spot across fantasy football. And by the way, Metalheads is Dustin, who's
Dustin.
Out in Chicago. And
absolutely.
Before we really get into it, it's amazing how many different, you know, we have our friends and our friends are close, but you have your friend is across the pond, and we have Dustin in Chicago. And we have
Tanya in New Orleans.
Tanya's in Canada.
Canada.
She's a huge Saints fan, but she's up in Canada.
Oh,
so we have.
Hey,
it's completely international. It's
Tanya.
Nice.
Good luck to you, eh?
And it's everybody's friends with everybody now, and it's really cool.
Absolutely,
so,
absolutely.
And next year, it's going to be even bigger than this. So.
I certainly hope so.
All right, so we're going start'em, sit'em.
Quarterbacks.
Who's your start of the week?
Why am I? I'm in the wrong one. I'm sorry. Hold on.
No, you could be in that one. That's fine.
No. We're gonna do it the right way, like we always do it. For some reason, didn't click over like I wanted it to. my start of the week, I'm gonna say the Arizona Cardinals. I just lost his name.
Carson Palmer.
Carson Palmer. Thank you very much. Carson Palmer against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Okay, that's fair.
All right. Who you got?
I'm going Matt Ryan.
Really?
Against Buffalo. I don't like that Buffalo defense. I really don't. I think Matt Ryan has a good week. And honestly, a game really doesn't matter too much. But
no.
You know what? If you're in a fantasy league and you're still starting Matt Ryan, I go Matt Ryan.
Okay. Fair enough. Who are you sitting this week?
Without question, I am sitting Eli Manning.
Okay.
I don't care how bad the Washington Redskins defense is. I don't trust Eli Manning. I'm sitting him.
All right. Fair enough. I'm sitting Mike Glennon against the Panthers. I think that Panthers defense is just going to be overwhelming for them.
Who's your sleeper?
My sleeper, Josh McCown against the Vikings, man.
Yeah, he's going to wind up having a beast day.
But... yeah, I mean, you and I could probably throw for a beast day against the Vikings defense. They're just that bad.
Yeah, that's fair. I got Ryan Fitzpatrick against the Colts.
Okay.
I've been saying I don't like the Colts defense outside of Robert Mathis. I think, and I've been saying that Tennessee is a better team with Fitzpatrick behind the center. I'm going Ryan Fitzpatrick with my sleeper of the week.
All right, sounds good. Head on over to running backs. Who would you start this week?
Maurice Jones-Drew is my start of the week against Cleveland. Cleveland's okay. defenses have not been able to stop the run all season. I mean, their defense is pedestrian at best.
Right.
I'm going Maurice Jones-Drew to actually have a big day today. I think he's going to go over 100.
Okay. Which, I mean, would be nice because he's starting to make his comeback over the last few weeks. He's starting to actually play like he used to play, which is impressive.
Last week, they played Houston, and actually the Week 12 game is the Thursday night game for Week 14. It's Houston and Jacksonville again.
Right.
So it's one game I don't have to watch. He had 14 carries for 84 yards and a touchdown, 6 catches for 60 yards. He has a touchdown in 3 consecutive games.
It's going
to keep rolling.
All right. I'm gonna start Andre Brown against the Redskins.
Okay.
Andre Brown had a big game last week. I think he can continue that. The Redskins defense really isn't all it's cracked up to be. And speaking of the Redskins, last week was the one-year anniversary of not one-year anniversary of Sean Taylor.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So, who are you sitting down?
Lamar Miller against the Jets.
Okay.
I don't like any running back against that Jets front seven. The Jets' defensive line has been fantastic all season.
Front line's been keeping them in games when they've when they should have been blown out.
Right.
So I can't dispute that. I am going to sit Stavon Ridley against the Texans. I don't like the matchup. Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay.
I don't like the matchup. Stavon Ridley's been just, for lack of a better word, terrible the whole season. So
Brandon Bolden's actually been more of a consistent back for them.
Right.
For New England.
Yeah.
Who's your sleeper?
Chris Ivory against the Dolphins.
Okay.
He's been kind of coming around lately. Not completely sold on the front seven of that Miami defense.
Yeah, it's terrible. That's terrible. All right. My sleeper is twofold, and this is going to go all the way up until, I want to say, 12:45. So keep an eye on the inactive list. Knowshon Moreno may be out with a bad ankle.
Okay.
That's what happens when you run the ball 37 times for 200-something yards. If he's out and you can make one quick pickup before the game starts and you don't have another running back, get Monte Ball. That's my sleeper.
Okay.
If Knowshon Moreno is healthy, I'm going Donald Brown against Tennessee. I don't like Tennessee's run defense. I like their pass defense.
Right.
So pick your poison on that.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Heading on over to the wide receiver position. I'll kick this one off.
Mm-hmm.
Start of the week, Harry Douglas against the Bills.
Ties into my Matt Ryan start of the week for...
yeah. He's had some really good games. He's had some okay games, but against the Bills defense, he's going to light it up.
And my start of the week is Anquan Boldin against St. Louis.
All right.
St. Louis' run defense is fantastic, and they can blitz the hell out of somebody. I just don't like their corners one-on-one with any wide receivers.
Okay.
I think Bolden, and Bolden is a wide receiver in a tight end's body.
Right.
just looking at it, number one receivers have dominated St. Louis. Larry Fitzgerald, Julio Jones, Dez Bryant, Justin Blackmon, Steve Smith, Golden Tate, T.Y. Hilton, Brandon Marshall, all scoring touchdowns or gaining 100 receiving yards against the St. Louis Rams defense.
Sure.
I think that trend continues. I go Anquan Boldin as my start of the week.
All right. Sit of the week. I am going to sit Marques Colson against the Seattle Seahawks.
Ties in to what I was saying before. Absolutely. I think this week he has 3 catches for 30 yards tops.
I think that's hopeful.
My sit of the week is Riley Cooper.
He's been kind of absent the last few weeks.
Yes, and, well, they're coming off the bye, but that Arizona Cardinals secondary is amazing.
Yeah, and he's still a number 3, number 4 receiver. He's the 3rd or 4th option, so I could absolutely agree with that. Who are you picking for your sleeper?
Tyquan Underwood against the Panthers. Tyquan Underwood had 3 catches last week for, I think, a little over 100 yards and 2 touchdowns. I don't think he does that this week. I think he's actually focused in more. There's one guy on the Carolina Panthers secondary that's done for the season. His name escapes me. I think Tyquan Underwood has a decent week. Glennon's starting to find his niche with this team.
Right.
And I think Glennon stays for next year as their starting quarterback.
Wouldn't surprise me. He's done some good things so far, you know, at the helm. Not really much of a sleeper, but Michael Floyd against the Eagles. I think Michael Floyd could have himself a decent day.
Okay.
I think they're going to concentrate more on Larry Fitzgerald than they are on him.
Okay.
So, and I liked, you know, I told you I liked Floyd at the beginning of the season.
Absolutely.
I thought he was going to do some good things. Heading on over to the tight end position. Christopher, who are we starting this? Who are you starting this week?
Jimmy Graham. I know they're playing Seattle, but it's Jimmy Graham.
Okay.
And if Jimmy Graham's healthy, Jimmy Graham dominates any tight end in the league and any linebacking core in the league. Give me Jimmy Graham all day, day.
Very good. I like Greg Olsen against the Bucs. I think he's going to be a favorite. I think the Bucs are going to concentrate too much on the wide receivers, kind of forget about the tight end position, and I don't think the linebackers can hang with him.
Okay, it's fair.
Who are you sitting now?
Excuse me. Jared Cook. Against San Francisco. Jared Cook has been so hit or miss this year.
Right.
He's played better as of late. After week one, he was horrendous. But yeah, he's my sit of the week, man. I don't like him. If you're a tight end, you got to match up against Navarro Bowman and Patrick Willis.
You're gonna have a bad day.
It's like that meme. You're gonna have a bad time.
I'm sitting down Brandon Myers against the Redskins. He's been essentially absent for a good part of the season. Not worth a start. Not worth a start at all at this point. Eli's not even looking to him as an option at this point. Who you have as a sleeper?
Delanie Walker against Indianapolis. I'm going to keep riding that Tennessee-Indianapolis train. I think Walker has a good week. Fitzpatrick has started to showcase him more. He doesn't have much faith in the Kenny Britts of the world on that team. And I think Kendall Wright is the other wide receiver on the team. Delanie Walker started to get showcased a little more. I got Delanie Walker for 5 catches, 65 yards, and a touch.
Okay.
That's what I got.
It's a good day for a sleeper.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking Martellus Bennett's going to be a good sleeper. I think he's going to carry over what he did last week into this week. Again, it's the Minnesota Vikings defense. Should be a fairly easy time for anybody on the Chicago offense to do some good things. So Martellus Bennett, I'm thinking 4 or 5 grabs, maybe 50 yards and a touchdown.
Right.
All right. Kickers and fat chicks and mopeds.
Yay.
All the same thing. Who's your start of the week for the kickers?
Well, considering I can't pick Justin Tucker because he already played, I will go Matt Prater against the Chiefs.
All right.
Prater from Denver against the Chiefs.
All right. I'm going to say Adam Vinatieri against the Titans. I think he's just going to – he kicks well against Tennessee. He kicks well. Just looking at this right here. Last time he went up against the Titans, he scored 14 fantasy points. So they've also Tennessee's also given up the 3rd most fantasy points to kickers. So should be a good day for him.
Right.
Who are you sitting down?
Greg Zuerlein against San Francisco. I just don't think St. Louis is going to hang with them today.
Okay. I'm going to sit Matt Bryan against the Buffalo Bills. The offense is struggling. I don't think they're going to get very – they're going to be within field goal range, but they're going to be very long field goals, and I don't know that Matt Bryan can pull it off. Who's your sleeper? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm not giving you a sleeper for kicker.
Fooled you. All right, start him in some defenses. Who are you starting this week?
I am starting –
Oh, yeah, that one.
New England.
That's a
starting New England against Houston.
Absolutely.
I just, Houston's gotten, you only put up 6 points against Jacksonville. Again, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah.
So I think New England wins this game and humiliates them in resounding fashion. I would go New England for this week.
And I mean, New England's a top 10 fantasy defense also.
They really are, which is surprising.
Not really. They're always up there, man. They're always up there. I am going to start the Browns against the Jaguars. I think the Browns' defense is really the only thing they got going on. I don't like the Jaguars' offense, and the Browns could just have themselves a good day.
It's fair. It's fair.
Who are you sitting?
Sitting Kansas City.
Okay. That's funny because my team comes from the same game.
Yeah. All right, so you're sitting Denver. I'm sitting Kansas City this week. No Tom Bahali, no Derek Johnson. The team is banged up. They gave up 41 points to San Diego, and I firmly believe and they were home.
Right.
And I firmly believe, well, numbers don't lie, Denver's offense is a lot better than San Diego's.
Yes.
I think this is a statement game even more for Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning didn't want to lose two games all year.
Right.
I'm avoiding, and I have, excuse me, I have Tennessee as my backup defense. I'm starting Tennessee this week to play spoiler.
There you go. All right. I want to see the Broncos. I think Alex Smith wants to make a point, and I think he's going to do his best, the best he possibly can, to pick apart the Denver defense. Is he good enough to do it? Maybe.
Right.
Maybe. But, you know, I think the Denver offense is the ones you really got to watch out for at this point. Who are you going to put as your sleeper?
Miami Dolphins against the New York Jets. That, listen, we said it before, Geno Smith has said three straight weeks of less than 10 completions. The Miami secondary is a lot better than the Miami front seven.
Sure.
I think it's a bend but don't break defense. Geno Smith can't complete any passes. You can't run the ball as much as Rex Ryan would love to. You can't run the ball 75 times a game. I think Geno Smith...
Unless you know Sean Moreno.
Exactly. I think Geno Smith is 11 for 26 today, 118 yards, two interceptions, no touchdowns. I don't like Geno Smith in this matchup.
All right. A lot of people are picking him to sit. I'm picking the Bengals defense as a sleeper. I think they're going to kind of wake up and just try to do their best to destroy that San Diego offense. I think the Bengals get at least two or three picks, a couple sacks.
Right.
Maybe a pick six.
Ooh, okay.
So, all right, that's the fantasy segment, boys and girls. We are pretty much done. Now, there's a couple things we said we wanted to talk about earlier. We spoke about Mike Tomlin.
Yeah.
And things like that. Brandon Browner suspended for a year from Seattle for a PED violation.
Deserves it.
Second violation. Last year was suspended for four games.
Due to crime, got to do time.
So... Whoa.
Damn you.
NFL.com.
A box.
So.
You want to talk about the ties. I know you want to talk about
Yeah, you know.
I heard what you said driving in today. So, go ahead. Refresh everybody's memory. Does it
all right, so. Miami. Not Miami. Minnesota Green Bay ended in a 26-26 tie last week.
Uh-huh.
Ties are awful. There's no such thing as a tie in the postseason.
It's the worst thing in the world.
I thought they always played sudden death.
Only in the playoffs.
Only in the playoffs.
First team to score in the playoffs wins outright. In the regular season.
No. First team in the playoffs does not. They still have this rule.
Oh, they still have the rule?
Yes.
Okay. So basically the way it works is the team, whoever wins the kickoff on the coin toss, if they score a touchdown, game is over. If they kick a field goal, the opposing team has the opportunity to score and win the game.
Yes, defensive touchdown or safety. Offensive touchdown, defensive touchdown, or safety first on the first drive ends it.
Right. So then you get guys like, let's say, the New England Patriots, who went into overtime last week against the Broncos,
mm-hmm.
win the coin toss, and elected to defend instead of taking the... They defended with the wind, which was putting Denver against the wind, which I was unprecedented for me. I thought he... I was like, what is he doing? What's Belichick thinking?
And then look at the, what happened, how they turned the ball over, and then you kind of...
Right, and then you're like, well, all of a sudden, he's a genius.
Yeah.
But, ugh, hate saying that. But again, that game ended in a win. It did not end in a tie. You hate ties just as much as I do.
All football fans do.
How do we stop the ties? In the NHL, they did it by going to a shootout.
I would go college rules. The way college does it now is, well, they would have to modify it for the NFL, but college starts at the 35, I want to say,
okay,
of the opponent. You're allowed to kick field goals for the first three overtimes. After the first three overtimes, you must score a touchdown.
Now, keep in mind,
and you
not,
must go for two.
This is not a regulation quarter. This isn't a 15-minute quarter. It's a drive.
Exactly.
So each drive, well, one offensive drive, one defensive drive for each team is considered a overtime.
Right.
Period.
So I've been thinking about this, and what I propose is start at your own 40, since it is the NFL and kickers are better and all that other stuff.
See, I like where you're going, but I was going to start at the 45. So this way, if you're not successful, if you don't move the ball, at least the field goal will be 62 yards.
Right, okay.
Which is almost record setting.
Yeah. I mean, I have it at the 40, you have it at the 45.
Right.
So start at the 40. There's no time on the clock, only the time clock.
Right, okay? Only the game clock.
Right, the game clock. You have...
Play clock, excuse me.
You have your drive starts, you have the first and 10, okay? For the first two rounds of overtime, you can kick a field goal. Okay, if after that you're still tied, you must drive for a touchdown and a two-point conversion. No extra points. That I would have to do it that way. I would have to. Again, I think that would only have to be done for the regular season. Playoffs, I would do it as first team to score, but then you could even think about it and take it a step further that you should really just play until, like, if you had this rule that they have now,
right,
and I'm all over the place with this because there's so many different ways you can do it. If they have the rule that they have in place now,
right,
you can essentially have the same rules, but if it is tied after both teams kick a field goal, next team to score wins. There's your sudden death rule.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm okay with the fact that you only have three drives to kick a field goal and then you have to score a touchdown and a two-point conversion.
But think about it. The touchdown two-point conversion isn't bad because you may get it. If you have two teams that are just straight up offense, let's take Detroit and I don't know, New England.
Okay.
Straight up offense. Or Denver. New England, Denver and Detroit.
Okay.
You give Peyton Manning a chance to just score a touchdown. Homeboy could score a touchdown.
Right.
That two-point conversion adds a little bit of a wrinkle. That it's not just a gimme extra point.
Right.
So you get a team that scores and Denver scores a touchdown, gets a two-point conversion. Matthew Stafford leads him down, scores a touchdown. You got to get that two-point conversion now. You got to match him.
Right.
If you don't, game's over.
All right. All right. Yeah, you know what? I can get down with that rule now that you just put it out like that. I was also thinking, let's put it on the kickers. NHL has a shootout. Let the NFL have a shootout. Start kicking field goals. You start kicking field goals at the 30-yard line. After every hit, you move back 5 yards.
Are you going to have defensive long? Are you going to have an offensive and defensive line trying to block the kick?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. In the NHL, you have a goalie trying to stop the shot.
Mm-hmm.
In the NFL, you should have a defense trying to stop it also. And you just go back 5 yards for the first three attempts. Then you go back 3 yards after that. So you're starting at 30. Actually, you don't even need to do that. You won't even need to do that. If you're starting at the 30, by the first three times you're at the 45-yard line, that's a 62-yard field goal. If you're both making 62-yard field goals, you just keep kicking until you miss.
I think that I think that takes too much away from the skill players in the game.
Skill players at that point are exhausted.
I understand. Listen, there's so many different ways that they could do it where it's not a tie. So many. I would take anything. I would take them flipping a damn coin. All right, heads you win, tails I win. All right, heads, you guys win. Like, I would rather that. I can't handle the tie. I personally think it should just be play after the first. If they both kick a field goal on their first drives, next score wins, no matter how long it takes. Takes three outs. I don't care.
What's wrong with just sudden death? It'll happen fast enough.
The reason that was wrong with sudden death, I'm sorry, Will.
No, go ahead.
The reason that it was wrong with sudden death is what was happening is the team that was winning the coin toss was systematically driving down the field just to kick the field goal, and the other team didn't have a chance to match them. That was the problem with sudden death. And that the reason why it was changed is because Minnesota played New Orleans in the playoffs, and if I'm not mistaken, it went to overtime. That was the Bounty Gate game.
Right.
That New Orleans wins the coin toss, marches down the field, kicks a field goal. Minnesota has no chance to come back from that.
Right.
And it was Drew Brees and Brett Favre, and how could you not let Brett Favre have a shot? And then as soon as that happened, they changed the rule for the next year.
Because it was Brett Favre.
Favre.
You know, it's...
It
does make sense, and it does add an air of fairness to the game. But a tie is just, it's no good. It's just not acceptable.
I hate looking at a tie on a football team's record. I mean, they got rid of it in college.
Right.
That you have to win. Why are you so stubborn in your ways?
Does any other sport have ties?
I don't think so. Soccer.
Soccer has ties. Soccer. But
or as they call it in Europe, football.
Footy. No, the problem I have is that NCAA has done as left-wing as they've been, as conservative as they've been, they've done enough to start to push the envelope for what the people want. It took long enough. It took 25, 30 years. But there's no more ties. Someone has to win. And they're going to have a playoff system next year. Why can't you push this to there are no ties in football?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if it's Goodell being stubborn. I don't know if it's just nobody coming up with good enough ideas. Maybe the ideas we're throwing out there have already been mentioned and the owners don't like it. I don't know.
Because what I feel with the kicking thing is I feel like it turns into a skills competition, which is why I hate the shootout in the NHL, because it's a skills competition. It's a breakaway.
Okay.
One-on-one.
Yeah, but you know what?
It's something, though. It's a
means
to an end.
I want to counter that argument with this one. We've spoken about the Pro Bowl and how we both dislike it. We both have sat there and said we'd much rather watch a skills competition. Here's your skills competition. To win a game actually means something.
Yeah, but looking at a skills competition, do you want, you're both 9-6, okay? Insert X team and Y team here. You're both 9-6. Winner goes to the playoffs. Loser goes home. You want to leave the entire season up to a skills competition, up to a 45-yard field goal on your kicker at home or on the road? No. In overtime, why is it that college football and baseball and all these other sports have no problem with playing the same rules that they have in the regular season as they do in the playoffs? Yet, when you get to the NFL and the NHL, the rules completely change. My opinion is whatever you have in the regular season, you should carry over into the playoffs. And the fact that you don't do that in the NFL, that, oh, okay, you've played a full quarter in overtime and you're still tied. All right, I guess we'll go still sudden death. No, it should be sudden death right then and there after the first 2 points if both teams kick a field goal. You should just keep playing. You should not change it, because if you get into the playoffs, if you have your idea with the kicking rule, are you going to do that again in the playoffs, that it's going to come down to kicks? I'm watching a Super Bowl, and my team is in it, and it's 21-21 in overtime, and they go to overtime, and no one scores, and now we're going to go to a kickoff? No. I'd flip out. It would actually make me hate football.
You know what? They got to do something.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, I got to do something. I wouldn't be upset with a kickoff, with a kickoff,
quote unquote
kickoff,
right?
You know, it's gonna give me closure. It's gonna give me closure. There's gonna be a definite win. There's gonna be a definite lose. okay? There's not going to be a tie. I don't honestly think that the NFL wants to push for extending the overtime period. It becomes too much on the players. They're exhausted as it is at that point because they've already played 60 minutes. Now they're playing 75. They don't want a game to go 90 minutes on the field. They don't want a game to go 105 minutes on a field.
But still, it doesn't matter because you're doing that anyway for the playoffs. You're getting, listen, I'm paying a guy $12 million. Guess what? You've played 60 minutes. You haven't played a full 60 minutes. You probably only played 25 of it. Shut up, man up, grab your jock, and get out there. There's no reason why I need to sit there and watch two kickers or just let it end in a tie. No way. There's no reason for it. I want the college, my personal opinion, I want the way college handles it to be handled in the NFL. You get the best of both worlds. There's no time on the clock except for the play clock. You have every opportunity to score. Defenses have gotten just as good as offenses have this year, okay, with the exception of it's a pass-happy league. But there's something there. There's a substance to it. Can my defense stop you? Do I have the number one offense against the number one defense up against each other? And if you're going to take that for the regular season, push it through to the playoffs. How great would it be to see Denver and whoever in the Super and Seattle in the Super Bowl in the cold weather? It's a tie game, and I got number one offense Denver against number one defense Seattle for Denver to drive down to win the game.
Not disputing that.
Right.
I told you I would like to see them start at the 45-yard line and try to score. Have to try to score a touchdown.
Me and you are on the same point with that.
Because at least if you don't make the touchdown, it's not an easy kick.
Right.
I'm trying to make it challenging. I want to make it interesting. I agree there should be no game clock. It should be a play clock. Okay? I'm just using the kicking competition as an alternate.
Yeah.
Because they got to come up with something. But again, does the NFL want to see these guys play longer? These guys don't want to play an extra two games, and I agree with that, you know, with extending the season to a 19-week season.
Right.
Something's got to be done. There's got to be a way to prevent ties. We're open to any other ideas. I'm open to listen to anything. If you have any other ideas, throw them up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/tattoosandtouchdowns. We have now reached our limit. Don't forget, check out the Sully Show today.
Yes.
Brian O'Sullivan, very funny comedian, going to be on there with Sully and the boys. If you can, go over to morelikeradio.com, go into the download section, find the Red Show, download that, listen in, Karai, world premiere song on the Red Show. Check out Ham Radio every Tuesday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. And while you're at it, just check out all the other shows that are on the Morelike Radio Network, man. I haven't found one that's disappointed me yet.
I'm a big Lust and Love addict.
Are you really?
Yeah, yeah. They're good, man. They're fantastic.
You're just like Big Titty McGee over there.
Wow.
I don't know what else to say.
All right. So, for Big Titty McGee, for Will.
All right, kids. We're going to be out of here for Chris, Joe, and myself. Have a great week. Happy holiday season. Be safe, everybody. And we will be back next week.
We got a meeting to go to.